So I've come up with like a million different ways to start this sermon because there's so many things in this sermon. There's like different things in this scripture that just are so striking, you know, amazing things. When Pat was reading, for instance, the verse stood out to me. He kept saying, "I'm the man." He kept saying it. Over, why? Because people were not listening to him and they wanted to hear something else, or perhaps they just didn't believe, right? But he just kept saying it. I'm the man. I should know, right? I was just healed of my sight. And there's many other things as well, but, let's start at the beginning, and I'm going to fill in this story because it's really a remarkable story. Pat read the beginning and the end of it. I had planned it that way because it's just like a long, long chapter. But I think you'll find it very approachable and real. So Jesus is here and he sees a man. He sees, right? He saw. So this word see is coming up all over the place in this scripture, to see. So keep that in mind. We see with our eyes. We also see with our hearts, right? And the disciple, and he sees this blind man from birth. So that's also important. He was born blind. It wasn't like he was healed later on. So it's very, very important to keep in mind. It has a difference between being blinded by something later than from birth. Okay. And his disciples ask a very interesting question. Who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? You would think that they would want to say to him, Jesus, can you heal this man? He's blind. And they say, who sinned, his parents or this man, to cause this to happen? Right? So they completely missed the point. Right? It's not about sin. It's an interesting question, right, to ask someone like Jesus, that they're trying to learn from him, but actually he's trying to teach them much, much more here. We all have sinned, right? So are we all blind? In a way, but in a spiritual way, but we're not physically blind, right? God hasn't like struck us with blindness. And Jesus says to him, it's not that this man sinned or his parents, but the works of God might be displayed in him. Right? And so there's a purpose in this man's life and being that way. God loves him. And I think that that's one of the things, before I forget to say it, that's very important, is that Jesus loves this man, right? He's interested in helping this man. And he's also helping the disciples to teach them. They're following him and looking at what he does and what he says. And so he goes on to say, we must work the works of him who sent me while it's day. Night is coming when no one can work. And so he's anticipating his death on the cross coming up, you know, this time when things are going to happen like that. But as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And so there is that point. I am the light of the world. And so the light is so important in this setting, and what Jesus is talking about, right? All through this is light. In fact, someone told me that we can only see because light comes into the eye. We always think of it being something of its own, right? It's like an eye, and it does stuff, but there's a reflection going on, the light coming into it, but there's darkness, right? If it doesn't receive that light, but he's receiving this light today in his life. Isn't that great? These are all kind of things that we can talk about, because God's word is so rich in things that we could talk about with people and give them these things. It has to get to that point. We're talking about witnessing to people. We want to get to the point where we're bringing the word of God into their lives so that they can engage with it and they can listen to it. It's a story. You could tell a story of what's going on in a person's life and then reflect that to people, right? And that's what it's all here for. And then he spit on the ground and made mud with saliva, which is a little bit weird for us, but I mean, he did that. And then he anointed the man's eyes with mud. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. And he went and washed and back seeing. So this man who was blind had this anointing from Jesus with mud. and you put that on to him, as maybe it has some kind of a meaning of water and earth or something having to do with that. It's not really the main point here, but there's a really big point, which is the pool of Siloam means sent, and Jesus was sent from God, right? He was sent here to earth. And where does he go to have this man see? He sends him to the pool of sent, to be sent, right? So all of this sending and all of this direction and all of these things are pointing to Christ as the Savior, as the one who's come. And now he is bringing this man into that light so he can see. And all the people around him are there to be able to see, to give God glory. That's another thing that gets lost in this whole story, isn't it? Do you see anybody saying, praise God? Do you see anybody saying, wow, this is amazing, this is great? It's empty of that, right? In this whole section there, which points to what? Darkness. The darkness of mankind, there is this lack of thanksgiving, lack of joy, lack of, right? And that's connected with sight. The blind are empty of praise, right? The blind are empty of praise. They're only focusing on the darkness, right? And all those things. And so the fact that the man was healed and could see, he was born this way, stirs up all of this spiritual darkness going on, and all of the, you can imagine all the demons in the world that around these people are all scrambling, trying to make it not happen. We're going to try to mess this up somehow. We're going to get in there and we're going to put this into our realm and bring it back into darkness, but they don't win. They don't win, but we are able to see what is going on here so that we can apply in our own lives, so that we can be aware. Right? We as Christians, as beings of God put on this earth, are to be constantly aware of this light that God has and the forces of evil against it. And we need to be prepared for that, right? You don't look around, you know, like this or something like that. It's more of an awareness and a prayerful reading of God's word, worshipful attitude that we need to approach each day with. And that's the thing that we really can combat this with. So the man goes away and he comes back seeing, and the neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar, he was a beggar, right? He had to make money that way. Is this not the man who sit and beg? And some said, it is he. And others said, no, but he is like him. So you see the darkness coming in. It's kind of like, you know, the people don't even know what they're looking at anymore. Maybe give the benefit of the doubt. This man must have looked totally different to the people when his eyes were open. They were probably also thinking, no one could ever be healed like that. It's a very real situation. He kept saying, I'm the one, I'm the man. I am, right? So they said to them, then how are your eyes open? It's almost like, you know, to hear the lack of joy in that, it's like, well, how did you get your eyes open then? And he answered, the man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and received my sight. And they said to him, where is he? And he said, I don't know. So they ask him a question. And this is one of the things that you'll see throughout this story, is that the man just tells the truth. He just keeps telling the truth of what happened. There's no, you know, like we tend to tell stories and make them bigger. You know, it's like a fish story. What do you call those kind of things where you make something much bigger? And by the time it gets to the end, it's like completely different than when it first began. Right? But this guy doesn't do that. He just says, I'm the man. Jesus healed me. I went down there and it was just like we read. He went down to this pool. He was sent there. He washed this mud off his eyes. He came back seeing. So let me tell you just briefly what happened in between. They take him to the Pharisees because they feel like this is something miraculous. So they need to go to the leaders, right? To these religious leaders, the Pharisees, and they tell them, and they bring him there. It was a Sabbath when Jesus had done this. So the Pharisees, when they hear about this, they say, this man cannot be from God because he doesn't keep the Sabbath. That's darkness. Right? Not, wow, this is amazing. This is truly God's doing. This is a fantastic, this is unbelievable. Let's find out more about this. Can you tell us what happened? Right? Can you tell us what happened? This is amazing. They say, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But another person said, how can a man who's a sinner do such signs? So here's the light, right? And the reality of God and the people and trusting God and thinking this way. And they're talking to the leaders, right? But there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, what do you say about him since he has opened your eyes? And the man says, he's a prophet. He's a man of few words. He says he's a prophet. So at least the man is saying something good about Jesus, right? That he's not like saying, you're right. I was blind and he healed me on the Sabbath. Let's go back to the pool and get the mud back on my eyes so I can be blind. And then you'll be happy. Is that what you want? And the Jews didn't believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called his parents. So they go to his parents. And it's an amazing scene there. Is this your son who you say was born blind? Who you say was born blind? Then how does he see now? And his parents answered, we know this is our son and that he was born blind, but how he now sees, we don't know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He's of age. Do you hear the difference between the two sets of people? Now this is, you can learn about this man who was healed from his parents. They're very point forward, very truthful, right? Very logical. And they're looking at this in this kind of a way. They don't give fancy answers or like, they just say, well, he's of age. Go and ask him. Now, one of the reasons that they wanted to do that is because they were also afraid. They were afraid, it says that here, they were afraid of being cast out of the synagogue, which was no small thing in that day, right? But the way that they say it is very, very poignant because it shows that everybody is being very direct about what happened here. There's nobody trying to make anything up, right? There's no stories that are coming out of their mouths to try to say what happened to the son. They don't know what happened. All they know is that he sees. And isn't that the point? That he can see. But it gets lost in all the darkness. So, now we come to this incredible part that we didn't have read yet. The second time, the Pharisees go back to the guy again. And this is where it really gets interesting. They called the man who had been blind. They said, give glory to God. We know that this man, being Jesus, is a sinner. So what does he say? Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. All I know is that I was blind and now I see. And that's where we get all the you remember you growing up or even now in your life when you've heard, I was blind, but now I see. What is amazing grace? You know, the famous hymn that was written, that's what spoke to the writer of that hymn. I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I'm found. Right? And this man is saying these things to the Pharisees, the teachers of the law that knew everything backwards and forwards about the law, but they were blind. And that's where it's getting. Right? And they said to him, what did he do? How did he open your eyes? And he says, I told you already. I told you already. And this is the greatest line that the man said. And it's not the biggest part of this, but he says, why are you so interested in Jesus? Do you want to be his disciple too? And that just went, man, they must have been furious. They were furious. It says that here. And they said, we belong to Moses and we followed Moses and we know the law backwards and forward and we know where Moses came from, but we don't know where this man came from. And the guy looks at them and he says, I cannot believe my ears. Right? It's so obvious where this person came from that meaning he's from God. And you don't know that? And you're these leaders. And you're trying to say these kind of things to me? He says, why, this is an amazing thing. You don't know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. And so he was saying this man has to be someone like that. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. This is the man speaking. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. There's the light. There's the light of standing up to the darkness. And that's what we're talking about also in our class, is to learn how to just to bring the gospel to people. Right? We don't go into flat, you know, kind of like expand into other words and do all kinds of different things and try to convince people. We stand on the truth. And Jesus is that truth, and he is the light. He's the true light. We don't have to worry. We don't have to think and scramble and think, how am I going to explain this in some fancy way for people? We just stick to the facts. If you were to talk to someone, you would say, I was lost and now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. You want to know how? And then you share your life with them. And that's how the people can tell that you're sincere, right? You can show them this, and then you say, now this is me in my life, and I've experienced that. I was blind too. I could see that. God showed me that, and now I can see. And let me tell you how it feels, right? So then we get down to this other part. But first, let me make a few comments about these sections here, okay? And then we'll get to the last part. In my notes, I wrote down light and sight in Jesus. Light and sight go hand in hand in Jesus, right? There's spiritual blindness, and we all experience that, right? We experience spiritual blindness. We don't believe. We don't have faith. We don't... You know, the things going on in our lives where we forget God, and there's times when we also, you know, to be honest, you know, I and everyone in the world have, you know, times when we don't have that light working. You know, we get away from Christ, but we do know what the truth is, and he receives us back. So the man being born blind from birth and being healed by Jesus shows us what can happen for us when we believe in Jesus. How does it happen? We are blind or in the darkness of sin when we come into this world. We are born blind, right? Just as this man is born blind, we are born blind in our sins. But Jesus, the light of the world, gives us light when we believe in him. So that moment when we believe in Jesus, that darkness and all those things that we have been living in are gone. We have come into the light. It's that simple. There's a remarkable change that comes in those whose life is transformed by Jesus, isn't there? It's like the scene where the people are saying, is that the same guy? No, I can't tell. You know, this is too good to be true. You know, this guy is so... these things, and we're used to him sitting there with no sight and begging for food and taking, you know, some money and stuff like that, but this can't be him. But, you know, when a person changes and they receive Christ and Christ is evident in them, it's like, you know, there has to be a difference, right? There's this feeling of like, and I know people here I'm looking at today that could do that, could say, you should have seen me before I knew God. And they'd be kind of like, really? It's so hard to think about that way because I see you this way. Yeah, I know, but you don't know me. So let me tell you about my story. Right? And we can tell people like that. The blindness of a man is contrasted with the people who possess their sight. They are, in the end, those who are blind, right? So we have a man who is born blind, but it's contrasted with people who have sight, but are, in effect, really blind. And that's what this story is telling us and pointing out. He's very much willing to admit that Jesus healed him because he knows it's true. He sees for the first time ever. And what does he see when he opens his eyes? Jesus. Do you see the way that Jesus is teaching us through this? I was blind, but now I see. I see Jesus. And the people who had their sight were seeing Jesus all the time, and they didn't see Jesus because they were blind. The Pharisees, the learned sight-possessing law experts, doubt anything happened at all. And then when the man gives Jesus credit, they reject the idea immediately because no real man of God would have healed on the Sabbath. And they became legalists. And they were caught up in the darkness so much that they refused to see the light of God at work in their lives. So they go to the parents and like their son, they only speak of what they know. And they're also afraid of being tossed out of the synagogue. So there's all this realness going on here. So they refer the Pharisees back to the son. The second time they come to the man, they ask him about Jesus. And the man basically said, I already told you what happened. Why are you so interested? Do you want to be his disciple? This really angers them. They say Moses is the one for us. And then he points out all of the things that God wants us to know and realize when we come into his light, that Jesus is the one who possesses the power to take a person out of darkness and bring them into light. Jesus is the one who did that for him and brought him into this, right? There's an amazing reading today in the scripture in the Old Testament that I was reading this morning, and it talked about Samuel being sent to find the next king. You remember he went off to look for a man to replace Saul. And so when he goes to look for him, he starts going through the sons of Jesse. And one by one, it's not the one that God wanted him to choose. And so finally, there's a verse there that says, let me just turn to it. It's 1 Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as a man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And what spoke to me this morning, especially in this verse, it's usually the part that God looks at the heart that really I remember most. But today I was really drawn to the first part of that that says, for the Lord sees not as man sees. Can ponder that for a little bit. The Lord sees not as a man sees, right? He has a whole other realm of seeing, of sight, of light. All of these things come from God in that kind of a way. And so what I was thinking was that with Samuel, he needed to trust God to show him who his king was, right? And Samuel was, it would be pretty hard, wouldn't you think, to be a prophet like him and to go and like say, okay, now which one is it? This one looks good. He's pretty tall. He looks like he could be a king. You know, this one looks like he'd be able, you know, to fight well and all these different things, and he's trying his best to come up with the right one, and God says, sorry, you know, you're getting it wrong. It's not the outside I look for, it's what's inside. And that in itself is a big lesson for us today, to think that we oftentimes judge things from the outside. That's why there's so much fighting going on in schools. That's why there's so much hatred among kids and also adults, because they look at the outward appearance, but they're not considering the fact that there is a heart, that there is a person inside there, right? And they're also living in blindness. They're living in darkness. And don't be, that is really the reason for all of the hatred and the things going wrong in our world. It's because the world is dark and blind. And they're following the prince of darkness. And we follow the prince of light, right? And so that really stood out to me today when I was reading that and looking at that whole thing here. To see as God sees is so important. So we need to pray for that. God, help me to see with your eyes. Help me to see things. Help me to see that person. Help me to see that situation I'm facing at work. One of the kids this past week asked for prayer. The first one of the biggest things that we do there is pray with them. And we have the God can. You remember we did that at Jesus in the Park, and they fill out prayers. And they raised, the kids didn't know what to say at first, but as we explained what prayer means, they wanted to do it. And one girl put in and she said, I have a math test on Monday. Can you please pray for me? And we're like, yes. Right? There's people living in this kind of a realm, fear and feeling like, you know, I don't know what to do with this. And when God comes into the picture, immediately there is a call for help and an answer that they receive back. And why? Because God loves them. He wants them to know him. So the man who was given his sight by Jesus becomes one who's taken from the fold of the Jews, right? And this is the last part of the scripture that we heard. And he becomes a member of the flock of the good shepherd. And the good shepherd writing in John follows this. So let me just read this again, because it's been a while since we heard that this morning, just to bring in this into focus. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, right? They told this man when he said to them that Jesus really was the one from God, sent from God, they answered him, you were born in utter sin and you're going to teach us? And they cast him out of the synagogue. And what for? Because he was giving praise to God, which they were telling him that he should do, but only they did not give credit to Jesus. They were blind to the fact that the Son of God was standing right in front of them. And so they stood on their pride and they yelled back at him in their fury when he told them the truth and said, you're not going to teach us, sinner. What could be worse, you know, or actually what could be a better sign of darkness than that? To say, we haven't done anything wrong. We don't do anything wrong. So we get to tell you what's right. Don't tell us. And that's the kind of a situation where we don't want to be, right? We want to be humble. We want to have hearts that are pliable, that are going to be giving God credit and Jesus credit. So Jesus heard, when he heard that they cast him out, what does he do? He goes to find him, right? He goes to find him. And he says, do you believe in the Son of Man? He said, who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? A very simple question from a man who really, he's the epitome of what God is looking for in us, right? Humble, right? Humility, innocence. Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. And what does he say? Lord, I believe. That's it. It is. Lord, I believe. And what does he do after that? He worships him. The whole thing, throughout the whole story that was missing, all of the things that were going back and forth and the attacks on Jesus, the attacks on this man, the attacks on the guy's family, all these kind of things, because they wanted their power to remain. They wanted to be right. And often we fall into darkness when we demand to be right, when we know that we're wrong. Right? A lot of arguments can be solved that people would just look at themselves in the inside and say, is this really the truth, or am I just trying to be right here? Jesus said, for judgment I came into this world that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. And some of the Pharisees near him heard him and said, are we also blind? And Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains. So that means that they were maintaining and they were standing upon and, you know, digging their feet in to say, we're right here. Right. And therefore Jesus says, you've admitted your blindness. Right. So it's on all these kind of levels that we're learning on to see here today. And I was actually really trying to, through this explanation and going through this at the end here, come to the main points. But I think that the main points have already been said, haven't they? Right? You want to reflect on this on a couple of levels. First of all, for your own life, and to think, okay, how is my heart before God? How are my eyes? Am I seeing through my own eyes, or am I seeing through the eyes of God? Do I see life and I judge things by the outer appearance? That goes into all kinds of areas. It could be temptation, right? Being pulled into something and to know that there's this pull of the darkness that wants to swallow people up on all kinds of levels. And what that does for us is the second part. It helps us to be admitting our sin and confessing it and wanting to be done with it. But it also means that we have to teach people these things. And we don't have to go very far. It begins with the people in our family. It begins with our children. It begins with our spouses. It begins with our loved ones, our family, extended family members. You know, that's a really hard thing to do, but this is the best thing that anyone could ever hear in the world. And so it's important for us to pray over this and to think about it and to see, okay, if I'm looking at it in this kind of a way, what can I do? How can I get into that kind of a situation and bring the light, right, that God has shown to me, right? It's not meant for ourselves, that once we have it, we are to share it. And it's really that simple, but it's hard, right? Why is it hard? Raise your hand if you want to say why it's hard. Why is it hard to share the gospel with someone? Don't think too hard. Remember, the guy was very, you know, it may be just something very simple. Sorry? People don't want to listen. Marissa? You're afraid that someone's going to yell at you? Okay. Brendan? Rejection? Fear of rejection. They'll cast you out. Yeah. So what happened, though, in that moment when the guy was cast out? He went to, Jesus found him. Yeah. Yeah, so it kind of has to just go out there a little bit, and we've been doing that in class and on different levels and in our theme for the church here, too. You don't have to take it all at one time and things like this, but it's meant for these things to go into our hearts and our minds. I would love it if you would take this scripture and just spend some time with it this week and really go over this story and see what God says to you, you know? And God does that. He takes the scriptures and he applies it to your specific life and to your family and to your friends and the people around you and stuff like that. And he comes in. I will tell you this, that a lot of times our fears are unfounded. Yeah, I will. Our fears are unfounded. But, you know, it's just this, if you want to take an example, we've been fighting against Satan for the last 10 months to get into this school. And it took praying and to, you know, and mostly the Lord to pave a way so that the people who were standing against the decision were removed and people came in who said yes. And that's the Lord. That's the light of God. And I can tell you this, and you can talk to Candy or to Luania or Rianne, and you can say, when we came into that school, there was nothing but smiles and greeting. It was like all of this stuff that had gone on before was just like so hard and so dark, and we're talking and we're saying what we want to do, and the director is writing the school and the superintendent, all these different people, and asking no response in return. Nothing. And then finally, another person comes in and it changes. And that was God's choice of a person to come into that situation to turn it around. And all of a sudden we got letters back and we got, you know, responses and just wait and we're going to vote on this. And then we waited some more and God tested us some more. And then finally the result came through. But all of that wait and all that darkness, you go into the school and the principal is standing there and saying, "Hey, great to see you today. How you doing? Everybody okay? Tell me what you need." That's the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Tell me what you need. And you've got it. He gave us our own room. First, we thought we'd have to share a room. He gave us our own room so we could, you know, it wouldn't be as noisy and we could concentrate better. The art teacher that's in the room is the art teacher who's been there 39 years, and she taught Brianne and she knows Candy and she's teaching Chris now. What does that look like? Nothing but the Lord, right? It's just so beautiful the way God works, and that's what happens. And so a lot of times our fears are unfounded. And that little girl is going to have to learn that, that her math test is, it's truly something that you can bring to God like that, but you don't have to fear because Jesus loves you. And there's much more inside of you that he loves than just your test result, right? And that's the way that the light comes into people's lives and starts to reflect that. And that's what this man did. He stood upon the truth the whole time. He didn't back down. He didn't cave in. He didn't think, "Oh, I'm going to get thrown out of the synagogue if I say this." He stood his ground, and in the end, he met the Son of God, and he was saved. And he lived on in the light of physical light and also in a spiritual light, right? Because he knew the meaning for life. So praise God. It's right here in his word. All we need to do is read it. And it's just it's such a blessing. And he's going to continue to show us things like this all the way up leading up to Easter. And we're going to have a big party, right? We're going to party because Jesus is risen from the grave and our sins are set free. And, you know, our lives are set free. And we were once blind, but now we see. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for being there now and listening to us. And we thank you, Father, for sending your Son Jesus into the world as the light. And we know that the light shines in darkness and the darkness does not overcome it. And so we just want to rejoice today. We rejoice in what happened to that man many years ago because it brings glory to your name. And we rejoice because of the lives that we have. And even though we may face problems, Lord, where we don't always receive the answers we want, we know the truth. And we know who to belong to. It's you. And so I just pray, Father, that you'll bless this reading, all your words, that they will remain in us as we now sing a responsive song to reflect on your greatness. We praise you and give glory to your name. In your name we pray. Amen.